And welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Fiona.
And I'm Sarah. And this is our exciting first adventure into our summer season.
Woo-hoo!
Of conception to production interviews. We've been lucky enough to speak to quite a few people about their first beginnings with their podcast and how they've grown it from very small ideas to actual casting, writing, production and so on.
And so hopefully this will give you lots of inspiration. And as Sarah said, it's going on every week. And
I don't think I said that.
Yes, no, you did. I think I said weekly. I'm pretty sure it's weekly. Well, as Sarah should have said, it's going on every week. First up, we have Travis Vengroff and Caitlin Statz from Liberty Podcast. And otherwise, if you would like to contact us about these episodes, please do email podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Hooray! Yay. So here they are. Enjoy!
Hello, and we'd like to say a very warm welcome to Travis Vengroff and Caitlin Statz from Liberty Podcast.
Hooray.
If you've not heard that, then please do check it out. And we're very happy to be interviewing you. For people who haven't maybe visited your site and seen all the wonders you have to offer, would you first like to start with who are you? What do you do?
So I am Caitlin Statz. I am the writer and one of the co-creators of the Liberty Podcast. And then we also have
Travis Vengroff, and I am the editor, producer, sort of idea
sound
guys.
Sound extraordinaire.
Sound extraordinaire of the Liberty Podcast as well.
Superb. And what kind of real life jobs do you have alongside this exciting adventure in podcasting?
I do... I manage a bunch of real estate properties. That's what I do. I'm the landlord guy.
Uh-huh. And I make fantasy maps for fantasy books.
Yes.
And for RPG enthusiasts. And I also do a lot more writing than just podcast stuff.
That's
so
some.
I get a lot of that.
Yeah,
too.
I've seen your amazing maps. They are so intricately detailed and beautiful. If you haven't checked them out, you must have a look. Go and find her on Twitter and Facebook and all sorts. Yeah, there's some brilliant stuff you're doing. So yes, with your amazing artistic skills, we fathomed that you have got lots of different strings to your bows, you two. And on your website, just for example, it leads to the two different podcasts of Liberty Critical Research and Tales from the Tower, a horror podcast. So offshoot of that is a graphic novel and a role-playing game. So where did you begin? What happened first? The kind of drawings?
Many years ago, I used to play a bunch of D&D. I still do. We're playing actually on the 4th of July coming up. But on track, it started off as a D&D game world that I was making, and it was a lot of fun, and I wanted to expand on that world and make it better, and it went from like post-apocalyptic sort of fantasy to science fiction, largely thanks to Caitlin's help. And then... eventually...
I brought the science to the fiction.
Yes, she brings the science. Eventually, I wanted to make a comic book. I had a story, and I started writing that. That took a long time. Comic books are very slow, painful process, very financially burdensome, and like one page to make takes a very long period of time to sketch, ink, color, etc. So while that was happening, Caitlin's like, you know, we should try this podcasting thing. This audio dramas are kind of fun, and you might
this
like
poor it. Man had never known a podcast existed.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was madness. So then we started doing the podcasts, and eventually that got big enough to where I was like, okay, well, maybe I should make the RPG accessible to other people. So that's kind of where that went.
Yeah, so we have not only the comic book where it all started, but we built off of that world to build the podcast, and now we have a history book in the works for our world.
An iconography guidebook.
An iconography guidebook, which is already out, which is pretty short. It's more like an iconography pamphlet. And yeah, the RPG book, which allows people to create worlds and play in our world. So
amazing.
That's... It's growing, and we're only going to have more content.
Yeah, that's what's exciting. Yeah.
This
is a beautiful hub of amazing creativity expanding out to all sorts. Yes,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and how do you, with such a lot of different projects there, because they're all set in the same world, aren't they? So how do you create such a big constant world and kind of keep track of all that? Do you have some kind of system or?
Well, in regard to like timeline and stuff, the history book has been a big help. I just kind of like, uh-huh. There's a version for the public and then there's like my version, which is like, okay, Kovsky is here. The stuff from the comic happens here. We have podcast episodes.
We have a PDF called the Liberty Bible,
yeah.
Which is something we give to people if they want to try and write something for our podcast sometimes. Not everyone's needed it, but sometimes we give it to people to look at as reference. And it's like, here's how they speak. Here's the timing on our timeline from year zero to year 700 and something. So we have a general basis for the world itself, but the reason that Travis and I do a lot of the writing is because we have the best understanding of the world so far until we can get more people ingrained in Atreus.
Yeah, I mean, you talk of getting more people and you've got quite a huge production team, you know, in regards to cast and crew and all sorts happening. How do you manage the different areas of that? What kind of things have you got in place?
The editing side is just Caitlin and me, really. I mean, that's from writing to producing, doing the sound effects, directing everybody. Like, everything funnels to typically me if it's not writing. And then Caitlin will look at all the writing.
And is it rude to say that I'm really judgmental?
she's very judgmental.
No. I'm really judgmental, yeah. So Travis will run something by me, and I'll be like, that was complete trash. You need to redo that. But in reality, we do work with so many people. We work with great people. We are so lucky to work with so many of the actors and actresses, some of the guest writers. Brandon Strader, who does our mixing and mastering.
Yes, actually. So two things. If you're a writer, you probably talk a lot to Caitlin. And then if you're, like, on besides myself doing the heavy lifting, we've worked, thankfully, with Pacific S. Obadiah of Lake Clarity, who's helped us in a couple of Tales from the Tower episodes. And Brandon Strader mixes everything, so it sounds much better than my horrible first premix edit cut.
It takes a village.
And with your cast there, yeah, you've got an amazing group of people that you're working with as well. How do you choose your cast? And are you recording remotely, or do you do some of it in studio?
We almost exclusively record, like, remotely.
Hooray!
Our quote-unquote studio is just a... yeah, it's kind of like my closet. And we've had one or two people come in to record with us in person. But typically, I'll know somebody. Like, it started off with just... I had some friends, and I was like, oh, this guy does voices. He should be our main character. He's kind of fun. My friend Paul. And we kind of were writing around people we knew. And then as we discovered, thanks to Steve Schneider, pulled us into the Facebook group for ADPP, and we've met so many more talented individuals.
Right.
It's been really neat.
Grand. And regards to casting, obviously, I've been lucky enough to be involved in your show, a few different things. And yeah, I found it really an exciting way of working and having no real understanding of the piece as a whole when I first started, because I admittedly hadn't listened to so much, I'm sorry, before I kind of got involved. And so it's getting immersed in, yes, the kind of different language of the piece and the different kind of tones of these characters that have got specific gangs, I guess is the way of talking about them in the Liberty podcast. And yeah, how would you describe your casting process for all of the different roles that you've got?
So we'll listen to some voices. I'll think I've got, like, the perfect voice in mind. I'll run it by Caitlin, who will say something to the effect of...
Well, that's not going to work.
Or...
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
And then, like, from there, I'll be like, okay, actor, actress, person, our world is really vast. It would take a long time to explain it to you. Here are the pieces that are really relevant to you. And here's, like, some maybe underlying motivations. Here's, like, the scene and how it pertains to your character. We do a bunch of art, and it's the same sort of thing with the artists, like to explain how the architecture works. It's got two moons and stuff like that. On the planet has two moons, and like very little details that are sort of subtle. Like, when we write this, please don't take it with a very specific accent in mind that exists on Earth. We're trying not to be on Earth. Like, we're not on Earth, so just maybe try and be a little bit more inventive than just like a straight northeastern Brooklyn accent when we Just read it as you feel it.
Or the Southern preacher accent.
Yeah, when we said one guy was religious, everyone who was auditioning made him a Southern Baptist preacher.
It's not what we're looking for. But no, and then at other times when we have a lot of roles to cast, we'll put out a casting call with a big PDF, and people can read off the ones that they want to and send us in their reels. And then Travis and I will sit down for several hours at a time with a notepad and write down all the characters we're casting, and then we'll listen to people individually, rank them by like, oh, this is our first, second, and third choice for this character. But we might choose the same person for like four or five different characters, but they can obviously only be one character in that episode. So then we'll have to move people around until we have a good combination of people in different areas and have all of our characters cast. It can take a really long time.
And there's a lot of tea involved.
There's a lot of tea. Like
pots, and you say, where do you put those casting calls? Just for people who might be interested in when they're getting involved?
We'll put them up on our subreddit or on various Reddits in for like audio drama or podcasting. We'll do it on the Facebook, different groups out there, on our personal Facebooks. Liberty Facebook.
Like the
Twitter.
I think we posted it on the Audio Drama Production Podcast group once too.
Yeah, a couple times. And then we found some of like our bestest friends through just like Twitter.
Friends.
Like, hey, we're doing a thing. Aww. Looking for folks like yourselves.
And with your website, it is because you do have those multimedia aspects to it. What did you do when you were first setting up your website? Because you've got things to download, you've got PDFs, you've got things to buy. What were you looking for in the actual sort of website construction? And did you do it yourselves or did you get professional help?
So originally I had a really bad website that I'd made myself. Caitlin spruced it up and made it a lot prettier.
I tried, but you can only do so much with like an online website built. I am not a coder.
Yeah, so we had kind of this illegitimate looking web store. You had to like go through a link and it brought you to another website. And it's actually a really solid interface, but there's this whole trust factor, right? So making it seem like we're legitimate, which is sort of tougher to do, we had to find someone who knew how to do websites. So we went to Jeff Clement from the No Sleep podcast. He did their website. He did a great job on ours.
And when we were looking into the website itself, we wanted to make sure that because even though the comic book came first, our largest audience comes from the podcast. So we wanted the podcast to be on the forefront and be very accessible, not only for fans that are currently looking for the newest episode, but for people who are just starting out. So we made sure to have the links to Critical Research, Tales from the Tower. We wanted to have the visuals that allowed people to get a good feel for the world, both visually and auditorially, now that we have now that we have access to selling the comic book, which when we first started wasn't out yet when we started Critical Research. So we've really expanded and kind of bloomed in the last year and a half.
And I think having the other stuff just available, like there as a splash page, is helpful. And also people like knowing about the people involved. So we have like an About Us page that I need to add a lot to still.
Yeah. Our About Us page would be so long. We have so many people working on the project.
And they're all fantastic.
And branding wise, you obviously got a certain couple of projects on the go. How do you manage that side of things regarding marketing and things? What do you do to get your podcast out there?
Well, one of the first things that we had to make sure that we completed was Travis actually spent a lot of time trying to get, is it the trademark?
Yeah, it's a trademark.
Yeah, getting the trademark for Liberty as a sci-fi comic book and as a sci-fi fiction and horror podcast, right?
Yeah, so like those genres specifically.
So we wanted to make sure that if we put a lot of work into branding, we didn't suddenly wake up one day and someone was claiming that we weren't allowed to. Because we'll be like, oh yeah, 2 years down the line, we have this great show, and then somebody else gets the trademark, and we've lost it all. So we worked on that first, and once that was available, we just did as much outreach, honestly, as possible. The marketing and branding is one of the things that we're still struggling with.
Our least favorite element.
It is our least favorite element. When I decided I was going to do a lot more writing, I didn't know that meant I had to do a lot more social media outreach. But we set up a subreddit, finally taught Travis how to use Twitter, and we've started to decide how it is that we want to present the show, because originally we were presenting what I considered to be not so great artwork, but Travis was totally gung-ho about it.
We've improved much, we'll just say that.
And since then, we've decided, okay, well, let's have a recognizable icon. Let's use a very specific font every time we write the word Liberty. So we want people to have that brand recognition, which originally we didn't have and we really hadn't thought too much about.
We've actually gone to different conventions across the country and people have stopped and said, that banner, that's on my iPhone. That's, you guys are the Liberty people, right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic, yeah. You talked about your trademark earlier as well. Just for those people who might want to do similar, what kind of process in the US did you go into to get that?
There's a company that you can pay like about $600 or $800. They'll do it for you. It's a straight transaction. They'll ensure they'll get it through. I tried doing it myself a long time back and I failed because I didn't follow everything perfectly and I was really intimidated and there's a lot of forms. So I went through like, I Googled trademarking company and I used the first one and they were really good. And you get it within about 8 months, but there's like limitations. So, you know, if you're a podcast, well, you're a horror podcast or you're a, you know, talk show or you're, there's sub-genres and you have to like tag each genre and each genre you add adds more to your bill. So it can start off really cheap, but we went for a lot of different genres, as it were.
Yeah. We're always expanding, so we needed to make sure we covered all the bases we were going to need.
Of course, yeah. And with the financial side of things, do you intend to get financed by it? Have you thought of looking into Patreon or sponsorship or other investors or advertising, maybe?
Well, currently we do have a Patreon. Mm-hmm. But we also look into having sponsors or people who... what would you say it is? Like, we don't have advertisers yet, but we do have sponsors. So we work with Tovu Sound, who gave us access to a lot of their digital sound effects library. That way we could use their sounds to make our audio dramas as great as possible. And they've been perfect for us so far. And we also are sponsored by Klipsch. We used to work with these horrible dinky headphones and we could barely hear anything and one of them was held together with tape, so I could never put it on my head because it would get stuck in my hair. And now we have these amazing Klipsch headphones that our three primary production teams, so Travis, myself, and Brandon Strader, has new Klipsch headphones that we're actually able to hear everything we're working on, because if you're trying to produce something and you can't even hear it, then it's not going to work out, guys.
In return for this, do you advertise them on your website, or how does that kind of work?
We do that. We're going to have a prettier banner coming up soon. Our website's about to go through another reincarnation in another 2 weeks or so, slightly prettier, just slightly. And then we also advertise them on the show. Like for a couple of episodes, we've given them shout-outs.
Every once in a while, we stick in one of our Atrian adverts for Tovu Sound or Klipsch. And it's made to sound like something that would happen in the Atreus world. So it's branded into the world itself. The way that they would advertise for a new club in Atreus, they would also advertise for Klipsch or Tovu Sound. And it's worked out pretty well. No one's really said that they are really upset that we have these advertisements, because it's done by the same person who does everything else.
It's also good stuff.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Good advertising. Well done. Extra points. And we are very much sort of talking now for kind of inspiring future podcasters as well to crack on and do it. What advice would you give any producer wanting to go into podcasting? What kind of pitfalls did you have that you'd advise people to look out for in the first instance?
One of the pitfalls that I hit that I'm getting over is that I'm really more of an introverted person, and I really thought I was going to have difficulty. I didn't even think about the fact that I was going to have to do social media or anything else, but it's such a big part of podcasting is trying to get people to actually find your show and listen to it. So if you think, oh, you can just create a podcast, put it up online, and then magically you'll have listeners, that's never gonna happen. So you really need to get the word out there. You need to reach out to people. You need to find your niche, and you need to really expand upon what you think you can do to get people interested in what you're working on.
I always say just do it. Get it out there. Make mistakes. The guy who does Edict Zero actually had a podcast out before Edict Zero that he just erased from the internet and redid and made into Edict Zero, from what I've heard in the rumors, anyway.
I never realized that. Wow.
He also
so
has some
much
books
stuff
out there
I would like
that.
To erase from the internet. How do you erase something from the internet?
We'll have to ask him.
He's got connections, man. He's got connections.
But just in doing this, it's like it's been super helpful. By making mistakes, we've gotten a lot better.
And how much of other podcasts did you listen to get your influence to how you were going to guide your project forward?
I'd actually not listened to very many podcasts at all. I didn't realize audio drama was a thing until after we were like almost done with our first season.
I was listening to a lot of podcasts beforehand, and I think the only podcast Travis had really listened to at that point in time was the No Sleep podcast.
Yeah.
Because we'd been listening to that since the start of our relationship. We would like be cooking dinner and listening to horror stories. And yeah.
Oh, the romance.
That's right up our alley.
Yeah.
But I had listened to a lot of live play podcasts and a couple really, really big audio dramas at the time, like Night Vale and stuff like that. And then at that point, we were like, okay, well, let's make our own and let's see what other people are doing. And we had a really great time. And so far, it's been great. It's just, you have to start off with a little bit of a smaller view and grow and make a lot of mistakes.
I will say, though, having gotten pulled into the community, thanks to Steve Schneider, like...
Yay, Steve!
Yeah.
He's responsible like for so many things.
Absolutely. He's a great guy. So having been pulled into the community, though, I've been able to listen to a lot of different shows, and it's been widely inspiring as to what you can do and... like, you know, different sound effects, stylings, or how music can or can't work for a show. And you hear a lot of other people's mistakes as well. You're like, oh, I was about to do that. That's really good. I can learn from this. Or, wow, that was really inspiring. Like, We're Alive is a really great show that goes over and above in terms of immersion and sound effects. And I'm always really impressed.
Yeah, we've gone from not listening to a lot at all to Travis talking with creators on Facebook and reaching out to people on Twitter, and I make the audio drama bingo boards, and it's just like blown up, and we listen to so much stuff. They're fun. They're nice little games.
Those bingo boards are inspired. They are brilliant. Thank you. They've got me into several shows, actually, and I'm sure they have for loads of people as well.
That was the biggest problem, just finding it.
Did you want to just explain a bit further what you've done with them, Caitlin? What is, for those who don't know, a bingo board?
So I've created these bingo cards that you can find digitally on Twitter and Facebook, mostly Twitter, though, because it's there so people can use it very quickly and reach out with people using hashtags. And what it is each board, there's, I think, four of them now, each board has 24 different audio dramas on them. There are a few repeats because some of the boards are themed, and you have to try and get a row. So you get a column, or you get a row, or you get a diagonal, and you try to listen to brand new podcasts that maybe you've never heard of before or that you've been putting off to try and get AD Pod Bingo. And that way you can say you have bingo and you've listened to a row. And it's how I found some that were really great. It's how I started listening to the Blood Crow stories, and I really like that one.
Yeah, it's really hard to find new shows sometimes, and that's been really helpful. Like, just easy, here's some things that maybe I should listen to.
Absolutely. You know, I've been sharing them as much as I can. I think if people get hold of those boards, do just ping it out on your own Twitter feeds and your own programs feeds, because it's one way to help this community grow even more for listeners wise and you know, just getting other people's podcasts out there. I think it's a fantastic idea, so kudos your way. It's a really good way of doing it.
Yeah. And you mentioned obviously you've got the history book coming out. Are you going to publish that for sale as well?
Yeah, once the artwork is complete.
Cool.
We're getting closer. I don't have an exact date yet.
Brilliant. And do you have a new series in the pipeline, another podcast, or are you going to keep going with the ones you got?
We actually we're not rebranding ourselves. Is that what we're doing?
We're formalizing our name as being Fool and Scholar Productions,
yeah,
I would say.
So we're going to be turning ourselves, just Travis and I, into Fool and Scholar Productions, because we actually have a lot of great ideas for more podcasts that are not set in the Liberty universe. We are continuing with Liberty shows. We have a lot more lined up. But
different characters and different stories and such.
Different characters, different stories. Critical Research is over. Tales from the Tower is repeating, so it'll come back every once in a while. We have the new one coming out soon, which is...
Vigilance, which is going to be kind of fun. It's sort of an unscripted audio drama.
And... Unscripted?
Ooh. Yeah.
Exciting.
If you can imagine playing Dungeons & Dragons set in Liberty and then swapping out all of the non-player characters with voice actors. And then, like, all of the dialogue, the narration with sound effects.
So we're bringing that. We have another mini-series coming up as well. And then, in addition to that, we also have our first Fool and Scholar production coming out in October, which is The White Vault. And, yeah, we're working on a whole bunch of new things.
You gotta explain what The White Vault is. Well, this is a name.
Tell us.
What is The White Vault?
The White Vault is a new horror story coming out in October. A group of...
researchers.
No, they're not researchers. It's a... you put me on the spot. It's a repair team is sent to Outpost Fristed on the island of Svalbard, north of Norway, to repair some equipment that has been damaged, and things only get worse from there. So, yeah, that's the...
Never go on those journeys, people. If someone asks you to go to the far end of Norway, don't go.
Too cold.
I wouldn't. No, sounds awesome. Yeah. Love all that, yes. Although I do have Scandinavian blood.
That is our first Fool and Scholar release, and then this weekend we were on a short vacation, and whenever we go into an airport we always come out with like 5 new ideas for podcasts, so yeah, we're working on a bunch
more. And of course, with your setup, for those of us who work on this and our other halves and not at all interested in podcasts, you two are kind of living the dream in that you're actually able to work together on projects. How do you find that works? Do you have to take kind of breaks?
I think the break is when he goes to do his work in the middle of the day and I'm texting him like, oh, what do you think about this change I made to this script? And he's like, I'm at work. like, I'm doing my work right now. But no, I think it's pretty nice. I like creating with him.
I think we're usually, she gets really upset occasionally if like Liberty goes on for too long, but then like we'll get into other stories. And I guess when one thing gets really stale, we'll just jump to another one. Like we're just initially starting out a new children's story that might be coming out next year, with any luck.
So we're kind of, yeah, I get aggravated if we're talking about nothing but Liberty for about 5 hours, and I'm just like, I have to stop. It's been nothing but, what do you think of this new panel of comic book art? Oh, should we make edits? And then, oh, I need you to listen to this first draft of episode 5, and then we need to go listen to some tapes that people sent us for the auditions for a character for episode 9, and I'm just like, I need to do something else for a second.
Step away from the podcast, yes. It sounds very exciting, though, and we're really glad that you're being so creative. I think you love your podcast. It's such a different vibrancy to it that, because I think of the amount of different kind of parts of the worlds and how it all kind of puzzles itself together, I think it's a great listen. So, yeah, keep up with the good awesomeness.
Well, we're glad that you think that, because we're always afraid that there's so much going on that people won't know what's happening.
Well, no, I think, you know, if you've got a brain amongst you and you listen carefully, you'll be fine.
Absolutely. And for people who haven't listened yet or who want to contact you, where can they find your work and where can they contact you?
They can find us at nerdyshow.com/liberty, or libertyendures.com is our website that links to everything. And then our email is thelibertycomic@gmail.com.
And then you can also find us on our subreddit, which is r/libertyendures. And you can also find us on Twitter at @atreusendures, which we realize now is probably really hard for people to spell. So.
Yeah, we'll write it down for everyone.
Yeah, we'll put links in our notes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to impart about your podcasting journey, or that you think would be lovely for people to know about any aspect of podcasting that you've, I was going to say suffered, that's not the right word, you've experienced over the last few years?
I think an important thing to say is if someone wants to make a podcast and they start creating the world, or if they start creating the story, it's not a bad thing if they look at it in the end and go, maybe this isn't a podcast, maybe this is a short story that goes into a book or something else. Because not everything is the right format for a podcast, as we've found through some of our writing. So one of the important things is just to be creative and then find the best way of making that available to other people. And sometimes podcasting is the best way.
I know this is probably a question I should have asked a while ago, but the whole world of liberty, where has it come from? What inspired this whole podcast story world?
I would say it's largely inspired by reality. I work with a lot of people in workforce housing, and they're very salty and very colorful individuals. And I come from this place called Sarasota, Florida, which is where we live right now. And it's supposed to be very nice and, you know, free of crime. But if you just scratch the surface, there's a lot of really scary stuff happening. And the idea that all this really scary stuff that you read about or you hear about happening in history books is actually still around us, it's like, oh, well, that's very interesting to me. And also alternative moralities and kind of examining what other cultures value. Resource scarcity as well, limited resources that need to go a very, very, very long way, and kind of how those things would mesh up.
Oh, superb.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We look forward to your musical number coming up.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for volunteering to be in that musical number. We really appreciate it.
Yay!
Anytime. I got my accordions in the stack.
Wait, what's happening?
You know, I can play the spoons and the kazoo at the same time.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, skills.
Just no end to the talent. Excellent.
Well, happy creating,
guys. Seriously, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
We're always happy to chat.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.